Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast, a bit of an emergency podcast here. Number one pick in the NFL draft has been traded. I have some reactions to it, both fantasy and NFL-wise. So the overall draft compensation here, the actual pick compensation, is $961, a first in 2024, a second in 2025, and DJ Moore for the number one pick in the draft. This is obviously means that quarterback's going to go one. The market has drastically moved, from Bryce Young being I wouldn't consider the prohibitive favorite, but he was minus odds. So better than 50% shot to, it's gone up as high as -350 to CJ Stroud. If I was a gambling man, I'm taking everyone but CJ Stroud at this particular point. I don't think that the market's ever been correlated this early. So that would be my initial reaction. I would have bets on Bryce Young. I'd have bets on Will Levis. And I'd have bets on Anthony Richardson to go one. That would sort of be my initial thought with this. Okay, so that's number one. There's just too many pro days. There's just too much market movement, right? We could go back as well, like, and especially in a class where there's not a clear one. Baker was a huge underdog until like the week beforehand. Like, you know, there's been other classes as well where things have moved very quickly, very rapidly. I mean, you even look back to like a couple years ago with the Trey Lance thing. I mean, Mac Jones was like a prohibitive favorite to go two or to go three for a long time, and then that really shifted. So, no pro days yet. None of that stuff has happened. I mean, there is just, it's impossible to believe with 80% certainty that someone's going to take him. So bet anyone but CJ Stroud would be my thought, responsibly, but that's my thought. All right. So that's that. So now actionable fantasy advice. Let's talk about the NFL for a second here. My initial reaction to this was quarterback going one, quarterback going two to Houston. You sit at three and you're like, you're Arizona and you're like, man, I'm feeling really good, right? Best non-quarterback on the board. But also, right, do I get a chance to maybe swap with Indy who wants to come up, right? Are there other teams in this draft that might want to come up and jump Indy, right? Is Atlanta in the quarterback business, right? Does Atlanta want to get to three? Does Vegas want to get to three, right, ahead of Indy? Now, Indy's kind of a marked team, in my opinion. So I expect movement, right? I expect three quarterbacks to go with the top three picks in this draft. And I expect Arizona to be able to cash in a move down, and I would expect it to come pretty soon. Is my next thought. So I'd expect additional movement on this front, whether it's Atlanta, and honestly, maybe this might shake the Lamar Jackson market, right? If Indy says, let's slide up one spot to three, all of a sudden Atlanta might be left out. Vegas might be left out. Teams might be left out. Tennessee might be left out of a quarterback move up and all of a sudden want to sort of change what we think, right? A team like Washington probably can't get all the way there, right? But you know, some of the teams sort of in that, let's call it, you know, the after three to, I don't know, you know, 18, something like that, going to be a lot of, I think there's some teams in there, right? Seattle could be interested, probably not going to get their quarterback at five would be my guess. Detroit probably not at six would be my guess. Right? Vegas seven, Atlanta eight. Both teams probably not going to get quarterbacks sitting there. Chicago's at nine. They're not in that business. Philly's at 10, also not in that business. Tennessee's at 11. Right? Has been a team that potentially could go up. It potentially be in the market. Houston is already going to take one. They're at 12. Jets at 13, probably not going that direction. New England 14, probably not going that direction. Green Bay 15, no. Washington 16, right? They got to do something. Haven't figured that out yet. And then Pittsburgh and Detroit Now, Pittsburgh, no. Detroit already has the higher pick, we discussed. So I think that there's teams that are going to be interested in the Arizona pick. You know, what's that potentially do? Does the best defensive player in the draft go to Seattle at 5? There's a chance that that happens, which would be wild. Right? That would be wild to be sitting at 5 and you're like, we get the best non-quarterback on the board. You know, that would be an interesting spot for them. And honestly, a great reward from the Russell Wilson trade. So that's kind of my angle there. All right. So so that'll be stuff I'm watching for. I'd expect 3 to be like Houston or Arizona getting calls. And a move down makes a ton of sense for that team. All right. So that's the NFL side. Let's talk fantasy for a second. Instantly, this becomes a less attractive spot for a quarterback to land. DJ Moore would have been a nice wide receiver one for an incoming quarterback. I actually recorded a bunch of podcasts on wide receiver tiers. I got to get them cranking out because they're all of a sudden going to be stale with a whole bunch of player movement. So we'll see how that unfolds. But again, this is another wide receiver on the move. And, you know, I think that that's another interesting place to look just in terms of like some of the trading stuff. But you look at the wide receiver market and it has been pretty consistently like in demand, right? Again, this is like this. I mean, it's over and over and over again. We see teams constantly in search of these guys. APY right now, so average per year, as we currently sit here, DJ Moore ranks behind Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Hopkins, Kupp, AJ Brown, Metcalf, Diggs, Deebo Samuel, and Terry McLaurin with his average per year. So DJ Moore ranks 10th in terms of APY, which is average per year on his contract. He was a three-year $61.8 million guy with almost $42 million in guarantees. He is signed under contract through the 2025 season. You know, I'm a fan. I think he's a good player. Not sure he's the 10th most valuable or most expensive wide receiver. I like the player. I'm not sure I necessarily love him. However, I want a lot of weapons around a quarterback that's developing. Now, all of a sudden, this team has not very many weapons around an incoming quarterback, right? That's all of a sudden, by trading DJ Moore for this pick, right, in this deal, you've left yourself almost in the exact situation of the team he's going to. Because now you're going to find, right, the complaint for Justin Fields all along has been he doesn't have guys to throw to. Well, now you've just placed a quarterback that you're going to bring in at 1, and you're going to put him with Terrace Marshall, Laviska Shenault, and that's it. not great. Right? You traded up. You gave future assets for Matt Corral last year. Right, lit those picks on fire. You know, you've made back some of the picks by trading away Christian McCaffrey. But all of a sudden, you're dropping a quarterback into a bad situation without a future first next year. And, like, I don't like it. I instantly don't like that. I will say this, a couple of things. At least you get the benefit of a really good coach, right? I'm a fan of that. You do have some cap flexibility, some cap you could spend. About $13 million. I'm sure there's some potential ways to sort of maneuver around that as well. You know, there's a couple of contracts that could be moved around, could be, you know, restructured, extended, and the like. But this is a team that doesn't have a ton of cap space, doesn't have a ton of big contracts to move around. Taking an $18 million cap hit on Christian McCaffrey, taking a $14 million cap hit on DJ Moore, $48 million in dead cap this year. Like, paying, you know, their seventh biggest cap hit this year is for Ian Thomas, who's like maybe the worst tight end in the league. Not a great situation to plop a wide receiver into. So that's kind of my initial reaction from that aspect. They still have 40. They still got 94, 115, 133, 147. So they do have guys that could help. You know, is 40 a wide receiver? But do you kind of now put yourself in the same situation Chicago is in? I don't love it. You know, can they be in the – are they maybe in the market for another wide receiver? What's – you know, free agency we know doesn't have a ton of help for them. It's an interesting spot, right? So I don't love it from whoever's going to go there. It's just not a lot of guys that are going to get open. So that's my overall concern there with them. For Chicago, I on one hand at the beginning of this I said, like, I don't love the return that they got, right? You could have gotten three firsts. We've seen the three firsts in the Trey Lance deal. Some of the other deals, like some of the other trade ups, I know there'll be some more coverage of this. I've done some research on this as well. I'll have to find that up and maybe I'll do some more content on that. But you've seen stuff like 3 seconds to move from 6 to 3 for Sam Darnold a few years ago, a couple seconds to move up from 12 to 7 for Josh Allen. There was some other stuff there. The big deals, I mean, the future first for Mahomes to move from 27 to 10, basically in future first. That was the Mahomes deal. Houston moved from 25 to 12 in the Watson deal. Some of the more, like, the bigger ones was the Rams. They moved 15, 2 seconds, a third, and a future first to go from 15 to 1. This is a bigger package than that. The Eagles moved a first, another first, a second, to basically move, and a couple of thirds to basically move from 8 to 2 in the Wentz deal. You know, the Washington one where they went from 6. And then they traded 2 future first as well to move from 6 basically to 1. That's kind of this deal. That's like this price. Again, the 3 first, that's kind of initially where I went. We were talking in the staff chat at Football Guys. I said initially when it happened, I said 3 first. It's got to be 3 first. I actually think this is more than 3 first. Right, I was looking at it, and I was a bit like, at first I was like, they didn't get, like, I probably would have went to picks. I think I've changed a little bit. Like, I kind of like what they did. I'm of two minds. The first way I think about this is like, if Justin Fields isn't your guy, how do you get your guy? Well, you got 2 firsts next year. It's kind of the way that Jalen Hurts did it. And so what have they done? They basically kind of kicked they're very much positioning themselves the way that Philadelphia did last year with Jalen Hurts. They move from, you know, they get an additional first, right? In that offseason last year, the Eagles also, they got a future first, right? They have 2 firsts this year. And they brought in a big-time receiver. Now, DJ Moore doesn't rank in the same level as AJ Brown does, but it's a game changer for the offense. And so it gives you a couple of things. If Justin Fields is no longer good, or if Justin Fields doesn't take a step forward, right? It's you're kind of he's kind of out of time, right? Like it's now time, okay? It's now time for them, and I think this accelerates the clock on Justin Fields, right? This makes this year critical, same way it did with Hurts last year. Hurts answered the bell. Can Justin Fields answer the bell? Right? That's a huge question. Right? This puts his cliff now. Okay, because next year they'll have a couple of firsts, and if Justin Fields isn't good, this team's going to pick very early because they're not good. But A.J. Brown has the ability, I think, you know, when you look at some of the other receivers that have been traded, like the Marquise Brown one, you know, it was one that I kind of pulled up and thought a little bit about. That deal was basically Marquise Brown and like in a pick in the 20s, which was the 23rd overall pick for Marquise Brown. The Ravens basically traded Marquise Brown in the 100th overall for the 23rd pick. You know, you look at like the Tyreek Hill deal again, he's not on that level, but there was a later first in that, and then there was some later picks as well. He was traded, and it was a first in 2022, right? It was a later first, a second, two fourths, and a sixth this year. So, again, there's a lot of compensation there. You know, so I think that this kind of puts – so let's just call this a first for DJ Moore. And that makes you really look at this deal and think, wow. Okay, because you go from 1 to 9, you get 61, you get a first in 2024, you get a second in 2025, and you get equivalent of another first. All of a sudden, you're like, yeah, like that's pretty interesting. Think about this from like a dynasty perspective, right? I kind of think about this in like the, you know, we do this all the time. Like, hey, I have needs. How do I get needs? Well, let's sort of do something that's, you know, let's take a player that's very similar and or a pick that's very similar, sort of trade down and, you know, and try and stay within the same tier we kind of like, but pick up additional assets, right? Kind of pick up a player in a slide down, right? That 202 to 210 in Juju Smith-Schuster from last year, right? That deal, right? Again, it's not earth-shattering, but that's how you kind of build out your depth, right? That's how you kind of make some flexible moves, right? That's how you kind of do it. This is that. It's a great deal. I like this more and more as the more and more I kind of read about it and think about it, the more and more I love the deal for them. Again, I initially when I thought this, I was like, you want picks, you want flexibility, you want all that. I think DJ Moore is actually worth the first, and so all of a sudden, like you're getting basically the 3 firsts and 2 seconds in this deal. That's an awesome deal for them. This puts DJ Moore in a really in an interesting bind, though, right? As much as I like it for Chicago, I hate it for DJ Moore. Okay, I've talked about it. I think I recorded a podcast. As I'm sitting here, I can't remember the order which they came out. I mean, I know I have a DJ Moore podcast recorded because I was like kind of talking him up because I thought the volume was decent. He might already be out. I think it's already out now. I'm thinking about it. Where I kind of was like, you know, it's a questionable ceiling type veterans, right? That's kind of where I put him. And I said, I think there's a ceiling for him because there's a lot of change that could happen with Carolina, right? The volume could go up and all of a sudden, like this team, you know, can really find some additional volume really quickly, right? You look, they had some Simpsons Paradox stuff going on where they were very, very run heavy to the extent that it was like, it dropped. They were both above average at running the ball on a per carry basis and throwing the ball on a per attempt basis, yet were under the average team in terms of points per play because of how much they ran the ball. So like that gave me a lot of like, that's not a good formula. So I said, Frank Wright's smart enough not to do that. It's going to really help DJ Moore. Well, now we go to a place is almost even worse. And it's worse in a way that's not, I don't trust it to be correctable, right? So What do I mean by that? Well, if you look at Chicago, last in point in plays per game last year at 54.1, they ranked 31st in dropbacks per game at 29.9. And so already you're like, wow, not a lot of plays, bad dropbacks per game. Design pass rate was actually 27th. Like, that's not great either. So really sort of leaning into this. The pace was super low, all that stuff. And then you go and you say, all right, well, what's the stuff like, if the play selection changes, if all the stuff changes, what's the stuff that like really, you know, what's the stuff that is a drag on the passing game, right? It's our sack scramble residual. It's our sack scramble residual. Hey, remember, I haven't talked a ton about this year. Something that I really looked at teams with last year, right? Add up the sack rate and the scramble rate, and then you get what's called our sack scramble residual, which is the total, right? That's a total percentage of dropbacks that are basically lost. Those are lost dropbacks, right? Which is your lost dropback percentage, basically. Maybe we'll go with that. It's a better, that might be a better marketing concept. But 25.7% of dropbacks. Okay, so that means on more than a quarter of the times that Justin Fields dropped back to pass last year, he did something other than throw the ball. That is first by far. That is first by, second was at 17%. All right, 17%. That is an enormous difference, okay? Third was 15.1%, okay? Huge differences. Huge, huge differences. You look, again, third was Atlanta. Again, same concept, right? Same problems. Third there for them. Fourth was Philly, actually, which is interesting. And then fifth, just sort of rounding it out for your idea, but fourth was at 13.9%, and then fifth was actually tied there. Baltimore was at fifth, right? So you look at the teams, and the Giants were actually second. So it went Chicago, huge massive tier break, to the second for the Giants, third for Atlanta, fourth for Philly, fifth for Baltimore. Okay, that's a drag on a passing offense. So what you have is run-centric offense, run-centric quarterback, low-volume offense, and a quarterback that when he does drop back to pass, a quarter of the time he's doing something other than throwing the ball. Like, that's hard. Right? That's hard. Is Justin Fields the best quarterback that DJ Moore's played with in his career? Maybe. Are the things that get Justin Fields in a lot of trouble going to be an absolute, like, parking brake on DJ Moore's potential volume this year? Yeah. I'm pretty concerned about that one. That's my take on this trade. So I don't love it. It gives me a lot of pause in terms of how this is all going to go. Again, he ran, like, by way of reference last year, DJ Moore ran routes on 97.5% of his routes of the team's dropbacks. Okay, and only ended up with 109 targets. And he was targeted on 21% of his routes. Right, that's a fine number. That's like, you know, that's. Right, that's a good wide receiver. It's fine. That is a huge problem. Okay, there's not a ton of ceiling there for him. Again, it's a 0.38 points per route run last year. Right? We're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble if you're DJ Moore. The math just doesn't really add up, right? You need 120, 130, 140 targets. And I don't care how much better your quarterback is, right? This isn't like thermonuclear Mahomes where you're like, he can get away with 112 targets. Like, A, that doesn't really exist. And B, Justin Fields, as good as he is and as much as he might be better than any quarterback that DJ Moore has ever played with, he's not that. At this point, could he change? Maybe. You know, but could he take a huge step forward? Like, it's possible, but he needs to take a huge step forward, and things really, really need to change from a volume perspective for DJ Moore to be anywhere near like the level ceiling that he is. So I'll say this: he's 24 at Fantasy Calc, and if he's going to sort of rise from this, that's, to me, that's a problem. That's a that's a sell. That's a glaring sell situation. Right, that's a glaring sell situation. I ran the DJ Moore for Goddard, and basically I swapped first last year. Right, if that in a, which ended up being an upgrade for me, like a half a round. It wasn't super consequential. It was like a move from, I think, 12 to like 7. Like, it wasn't a huge difference. But that's the type of angle that I'm trying to run right now if I got DJ Moore. So I have him in some spots. I am moving on if I can. And I've run some a quick poll, not a ton of sample, so just sort of keep in mind. I got 165 votes while I have been podcasting, recording this podcast, and I'll just update it quickly while I'm sitting here. They're flowing in hot and heavy here. 38%, 39% said it increases value, 20% said decrease, 42% said no difference in value. There's some rounding in there, so just forgive that. Again, not a huge sample. It's moving a little bit. But, you know, like 2-to-1 increase to decrease with a lot of no difference in value. I'm exploring that space. There's a lot of people in there that aren't decreasing his value. I do not like it from a value from a volume perspective. I don't. So that's my concern, right? Is he ever going to be a guy that sees 125, 130 targets? I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see. But that's really my concern, right? That is, it's ultimately because I think there's a couple of things we understand that. Receiving is a volume game. It's not an efficiency game. It's a volume game. And DJ Moore is going to be a good example of that. Okay, now maybe this team goes spread it out all over the place, and it's awesome. But that would probably be against what Justin Fields' best skills are, right? And if he's going to run, if he's going to take a lot of sacks, even if they do want to go sort of pass-centric, right? Even if you're like, hey, we're going to kind of do what Philly did, which is put the ball in his hands a ton, let him throw it, and kind of see what happens. Even if you do that, like, can DJ Moore get to somewhere where he's, you know, north of 120 targets? That would put him 120 targets would put him at 22nd in the league last year. Okay. To get to a top 10 number, he'd need 150 targets. All right. So if we just want to sort of recreate this, he in DJ Moore's career, he has been targeted on, again, this is an analytics show, so let's just use a little math. He has been targeted on 21.8% of his routes in his career. Okay, so let's just assume that he keeps that. Okay, and let's just assume that he runs a route on every dropback. All right, so there's a couple of flaws in this. A, he's not going to run a route on every dropback. But let's just assume that he does. Okay, to get to 120 targets, he would need 550 dropbacks from this team. Okay, he'd need 550 dropbacks from this team, and that would be an increase of more than 40. Okay, so that'd be an increase of more than 40. Now, the problem with that is a couple of things. Number one, he's not going to run that many routes. He's not going to run a route on every single one of them. Okay, so let's assume that he runs a route on 90% of them. We're already jumping up to 611 needed targets, okay, which is a lot more. Okay. So that's a lot more. Okay. Now you even start going and you're saying, all right, well, he needs to go higher than that, right? He needs to either get super efficient, okay, or he needs the team to really throw the ball a lot more, right? So already he's creeping into being needing to be up in the high ranges of the position to really get there. Like, it's going to take a massive jump, right? A 30% jump in passing volume from this team to get to a spot where he can really sort of get 130, 140 targets. And even if they drop back to throw that many times, he's not going to get targeted on 21.8% of his routes because Justin Fields is going to have a huge, right, you know, lost attempts, right? He's gonna have a huge sack, scramble residual, right? It's gonna be a huge number of lost dropbacks. I mean, this is a really interesting math problem, because they're gonna need to go extremely pass happy, and he's gonna need to really avoid sacks. He's gonna really need to sort of sit in there and be a passer. Otherwise, we're gonna run into a lot of volume problems with him. It's going to be a very difficult volume math, just a mathematical volume problem for DJ Moore. So he can be more efficient. He can do all those things. And if he's not going to be in the top 15 or 20 of volume, but if he's not going to get north 120, 130 targets, I mean, we're really running up against it. So that's kind of my concern, right? Needs 600, 650 dropbacks, I think, to really be effective this year. And that's asking a lot. That is asking a lot of this offense for one that was so run-centric. And it's asking a lot of Fields, right? It's asking a lot of Fields, given what we've seen. So, you know, they on a – dropbacks per game, they were 31st, right? To get to sort of six, I don't know, let's call it like 650, right? That would, it's going to be up in the, that's already up in the top 12 of the league, right? Is the team going to go from 31st to top 10 in dropbacks? I mean, it's asking a lot. It really is asking a lot. And I'd be surprised that that happens. I'd be surprised that it happens. So we'll see. We will see. And again, this is a team also that, like, by the way, when you actually look at some of their stats, I'm not sure I necessarily buy into the idea that there's just this ton of space for them to get more pass-centric. Right? I don't know. Like, I mean, this is a Fields thing, right? He's the best at running. Everyone wants him to be a runner. Like, he has this incredible career year running, right? Historical year running. And we're going to expect him to go to the passing game. This color me skeptical on DJ Moore for all these reasons, right? I hope that kind of fleshes it out. Like, it's a bit befuddling to me. So I just don't think anyone's really doing the math. So, yeah, that's it, right? That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with this. You know, so we'll see where this goes. I think you need a lot of change from Fields, and you need a big change. I mean, they were 14% under passing expectation last year. So some of that's probably some scramble stuff, right? Some of that is just across the board, you know, more run-centric. I get all that. But you're asking for huge, huge differences, especially for a quarterback that is highly inclined to run, that is highly inclined to take sacks. This is going to be a fascinating mathematical situation. All right. Well, that'll do it here for this edition. I hope that doesn't do too much Johnny Rain Clouds. Maybe I'll put out some more content on this, but I think the math on it's pretty good. Pretty fun. So we'll look into that. And that'll do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.